And we're back. You're listening to a Shunt Biker's Journal on the Michigan Business Network. Our guest is Dani LeBlanc. She's an attorney, a lemon law attorney, among other things, from Birmingham, Michigan, who knows quite a bit about what's happening with these flood-ravaged cars from Texas, well, and other previous floods. Dani, when we left for the break, we were talking about some of the issues around the titles of the cars and whether they're designated flood victims or not. So continue where we left off, if you would.
Well, one of the things, in looking at these cars, even if they have not been designated as flood, you should take a look and open up your smell, your sense of smell as well. So if you smell anything that smells kind of damp or mildewy, that's certainly a clue. But look all around, too, on the carpets and the upholstery and see if you see any watermarks. Sort of like if you've ever spilled something on your sofa and you see kind of a ring that it leaves. If the same thing is going to happen with car interior, although it's more difficult to catch, say, on leather upholstery, but certainly you're going to see on the side fabrics, the ceiling fabrics, on the upholstery, on the carpeting. You'll also want to open the trunk and see if you see any signs of water or feel any dampness in the trunk.
Or maybe some little puddles of silt, perhaps?
Yes, often you'll see watermarks, or you'll see, you know, signs of silt or mud that they didn't quite get every little corner out. Or even if you open, say, the hood, you'll see an unusual amount of, you know, how on a used car you might see that the interior seams are a little bit dirty from years of use. But on the other hand, with a flood car, you may see quite a bit of that they can't quite get out of the seams.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll want to carefully check the seams of the vehicle, even open the gas cover.
Oh, yeah.
You might see silt and things gathering in there.
Hmm.
Also, obviously, check all the electrical, you know, turn on the car, start the car.
Oh, right.
Check whether all the lights come on that should on the dash. You'll want to check whether the windows operate smoothly, because oftentimes once water gets into those tracks and those motors, they tend to hesitate, shudder.
Ah.
Yeah, check whether your radio works, your air conditioning works, whether your turn signals work. Those all have contacts that are especially susceptible to corrosion. So those are certainly things that you can check. Even the battery terminals that have been hit with water, you're going to see signs of that.
So if a wholesaler or a dealer has really cleaned a car top to bottom, there's still a likelihood that they will have missed something. And, you know, also somebody suggested that you also watch for the heavy smell of air freshener that's maybe trying to mask some of those musty odors, perhaps.
I think that's true in almost any case, but it's particularly true when you're dealing with flood cars. But there's many things that can be masked with excessive air freshener.
Mm-hmm.
So if you smell that on any used car, run the other way.
That's right. I bought one once that had been a smoker's car, and I mistakenly went ahead and bought the car. But after a couple of months, that smoker smell came back right over the air freshener. So, yeah, that's a good one. But I guess the bottom line for me, whenever I buy a used car, unless it's from somebody I trust or a dealer that I trust, is to take it to your mechanic. You know, it costs maybe $100 or maybe a little more than that for a good mechanic to spend an hour with a car, taking the brakes apart and doing some simple things to look underneath. So that would be a good thing to do too, wouldn't it?
Yes, that's very true. And now the law has changed such that all mechanics are allowed to have access to the electrical to those diagnostic tools that they can actually plug into the car and check for diagnostic codes, which is also a frequent clue that there's a problem such as flood damage.
Oh, I wasn't aware of that. That's interesting. Yeah, because that used to be pretty proprietary with the dealers.
Mm. That's correct. And fortunately, our federal government, NHTSA, stepped in and said, no, for safety's sake, we have to make that available.
So does that require the deal to the mechanic, the, you know, kind of your neighborhood mechanic, to have special equipment to do that, or is that common equipment?
Well, it's common, but yes, it's a special tool that will plug into the system. Actually, I've seen them for sale to the lay public as well, to be able to put a diagnostic tool and just plug it into your car.
Oh.
And it works with your smartphone.
Mm. Oh, really? A consumer-based tool. That's interesting.
So, right, and they're not all that expensive.
Oh. So now, kind of the bottom line here is, what can a consumer do if they end up with one of these cars that fooled them, do they have legal recourse?
They do. Unfortunately, in most states, and including Michigan, there are laws that apply that allow you to hire an attorney and make the bad guys pay your fees.
Ah.
So there's no reason not to at least consult an attorney as to what your rights might be if this happens to you.
And in addition to you, there's probably many attorneys who are skilled enough in that realm to take a case like that.
Well,
or are you the only one?
I'm certainly not the only one, but there aren't that many attorneys that do specialize in this area.
Oh.
But most attorneys certainly know who is and could certainly make a referral if you don't happen to personally know an attorney who does this kind of work. But there's usually what the consumer is entitled to in this situation is to get all their money back, even if they've actually driven the vehicle for a while, because that's a fairly common trick, too, is that the dealer will say, oh, there's nothing wrong, or we're not going to do anything, or too bad, because I think most dealers assume that it's hard for people to find lawyers to do anything about it, and they'll keep delaying things and delaying things so that the consumer puts mileage, because most people can't afford to just park their car, especially in Michigan, where we really don't have adequate public transportation to get to work, to get to school, et cetera. But the law, especially with the title branding fraud, says they don't even get to offset for the use that the consumer did get out of the vehicle. In other words, it's all of your money back.
I know, that's Michigan law. Now, our guest is Dani LeBlanc. She's an expert on lemon laws and other things. Now, we're going to take a short break here, and we'll be right back to talk a little more about the remedies that consumers may have. So stay with us here on the Michigan Business Network for a Shunpiker's Journal. Heaven all day.